Don Hillis is going to produce them. Don, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Here today to talk about some recommendations that we have for you regarding the use of automated traffic enforcement systems on the state highway system. Many cities and counties have enabled ordinances that allow them to use automated enforcement to enforce for their local police or local jurisdictions to enforce traffic laws. We have 88 such installations at traffic signals for red light violations on the state highway system. So even though we don't own or operate these systems, we have enabled the cities and counties that have wanted to do this to install them on the state highway system. With 88 installations, we believe that it was time to do a review of the program and to identify what, if any, changes needed to be made with that, because we were getting more and more requests for that. Also, while we had some informal policy regarding the use of red light violation cameras, we had no such policy on speed enforcement. If I can get my... And I'm here today to talk to you about what we found. There we go. The issue, and also that caused us to conduct a review of the system, is we had reported inconsistencies in application of the technology. There was all anecdotal evidence. It was not necessarily that we had some widespread problem that we wanted to do, but we said let's suspend any new installations until we've had a chance to look at this to find out if those inconsistencies are a problem. And also, as I said, we had no written policy for using automated speed enforcement. Some of the inconsistencies that we were hearing were related to the enforcement of right turn on red violations, and also related to where cameras were put on the system. Some folks were saying we're putting them on the state system while not putting them on the city system, and we wanted to make sure that as we reviewed this, that the area that had a safety problem, the approaches that had a safety problem, were the intersections or the approaches that had the cameras. We used a pretty good process, I'm proud to say, to gather this. We suspended the installation of new cameras and with the idea that we were going to have our study wrapped up and make recommendations, decide what to do by the first of the year, and we've done that. We studied the existing intersections. There are 88 of them. We gathered input from stakeholders in a very comprehensive review. We actually had a survey document with just various questions asking them what they thought about various issues related to automated speed enforcement. From the study and from the input that we received up front, we developed a draft policy and we recirculated it again for input. And obviously, when we first drafted the policy, it was very comprehensive. It included a lot of things that we had heard. But as we gathered more input from the key stakeholders, we made that policy fit based on the fact that we were leaning towards it being, at that time, towards being a commission policy. We wanted to make sure that what we recommended to you was a policy that fell within the commission's responsibilities and did not onerously prohibit folks from addressing safety on their system. Here's what we found in our study, and this is the bottom line. They work. Red light cameras work. This tracks the 44.7% reduction in fatality and serious injury crashes related to right angles. And a right angle is where the front end of one car hits the side of another car. They work. This tracks with what we had found nationally, which led us to allow the installations previously. But they're working. That's good news. We did find that there was a slight increase in total crashes, but as more folks become compliant with the red light and are stopping, we found that we did have a slight increase in rear-end collisions. These are not serious crashes. No one is hurt. But we did see a slight increase in those crashes. Here's who was involved, and in your notebook, I've included the folks that we talked to, that we involved, we provided an opportunity to talk to. Obviously, we started with city and county governments that had cameras and had used them or had considered using them. We also included large cities that may not have considered using them, but we wanted to make sure we got their feedback as well. The Missouri Police Chiefs Association was involved, arranged a meeting with several police chiefs to get their input. We've talked to automated enforcement vendors that are doing business in Missouri, and we also talked to the Missouri Municipal League and the St. Louis County Municipal League and got some feedback from them. In our recommendations today to you, here's what we found. We found that there are some things that we can do that are going to provide additional oversight without being onerous and without prohibiting the use of these cameras to the cities and the counties. We found there were some things that would provide a more level of consistency and maybe address some of those anecdotal concerns that we were hearing about inconsistency. For example, on the red light violation equipment, we recommend a post-certified law enforcement officer make the violation. Post is peace officer standards and training. Anybody that's in law enforcement understands you have to go through a certain level of training to be able to get post-certified. This will allow them, this ensures that there's some consistency in how they've been trained to use their discretion in violations. And we believe that that's a key point, and there was a lot of agreement that that was a good thing to do. We also believe that prior to installation, there needs to be a very comprehensive study and analysis. And the study would include an engineering analysis of the intersection itself to determine perhaps there's some things that we need to do to the intersection that we could change that would reduce the number of red light violations. It also includes a red light violation study. The red light violation study would determine if people are actually, you know, maybe there's no crash experience, but maybe people are violating it, and this is an opportunity to see if how bad that is. We've required signing. We've installed signing on our current situations, but we identified on the red light violation that we could make a change that has been done in other states, just a simple change to our signing pattern that would at least notify the public that what's coming ahead. And the simple change that we're recommending on the red light violations is add underneath the signing that we have there includes right turns so that folks know that. And that way they've been given some notification and have an opportunity to adjust their behavior as they approach the intersection. We also ask that so that we can stay on top of the issue and make sure that these things continue to provide the benefit, we also ask for an annual report for the cities, from the cities or the local jurisdiction with regard to the safety aspects and the number of violations that they've written in a year. And one other thing that's not up there in a bullet point, this was a best practice that we had identified as we studied this, a 30-day public awareness campaign before the public, before the cameras are turned on and they start writing citations is a good thing, and we're recommending to you that that be a part of the policy at all new installations. I do want to point out here there are 88 existing installations. I mentioned that number to you before. We're not going to require them to go do a comprehensive study and violation study and start from scratch on the existing intersections. We're going to ask them, we're going to work with them to identify if there are gaps in the policy and work with them to get there if we identify any gaps. And my guess is, well, my understanding is that there will be each community will be a little bit different, but we'll work with those communities to on with regard to getting in conformance with the policy. Speed enforcement. Speed enforcement is something that has happened out there. Cities have enabled ordinances to do speed enforcement, but there's really been no structure to how it was done. And as we visited with folks about the concept of speed enforcement, in fact, we've discouraged it on the state highway system because there's no structure to it. When we do a traffic signal, the timing is done by MoDOT engineers, so we understand that timing is in conformance with good timing standards. But with regard to speed enforcement, there was no structure to determine where it should be, how it should be used. And cities were starting to use this, and we believe that a review of that issue was needed as well. Again, what we found in talking with folks is they can agree that a post-certified law enforcement officer should determine if a violation is needed or should be issued, or a citation is issued. We also found out that there was general agreement that automated speed enforcement is a good thing if you talk about school zones, work zones, or travel safe zones. And again, this is our recommendation to you today applies to the state highway system. A travel safe zone is something that's recognized in statute, and it's a section, a corridor of highway that has an above average crash problem. It's more than you would expect on any segment of road, and there's no limit to how long it could be. And we have two such travel safe zones that we've already identified. And by statute, the fines are doubled in those work zones. Even though these are being enforced by ordinance, we thought that if we tied that to a problem highway that's having safety problems to something that was that is recognized in statute, it might be more understandable to the general public. And again, we're going to require the same 30-day public awareness campaign before citations are issued on the use of automated speed enforcement. With regard to work zones, obviously these would be MoDOT work zones, and we would ask that a city work with us, and we would agree that that's the right enforcement effort before they would still need an ordinance to enforce it this way, but that they would work with MoDOT to make sure that automated enforcement was the right strategy in those work zones. And also where we're saying that we'll allow it when workers are present. And in school zones, we believe that it's a good tool when children are present, which is when if you drive through a school zone and you see they've got the reduced speed limit and you see the lights flashing, that's the times of day that we believe that that it would be appropriate. That's my brief summary. We believe that the policy is going to bring some additional oversight into determining where new locations go. It provides a follow-up period to make sure that we review this as we go along, so that we study this annually and we look at it annually through the reports we receive from the cities to ensure that safety continues to be benefited by the use of this type of equipment. And my recommendation to you today is that you adopt the proposed policy in your packets.
Thank you very much. Could you tell us where the travel safe zones are?
We just approved one on I-70 through the city of St. Anne, and there's one on I-270 in St. Both of them are in St. Louis.
Thank you. Are there other questions that any of the commissioners may have? Yes, sir.
My understanding is that this applies only to installations on the state highway system.
Yes, sir, Commissioner Soltaus. That your policy would direct MoDOT on how to deal with requests to use this equipment on the state highway system.
Don, do I understand then that there would be some contract or agreement that would be undertaken with the individual municipality that wanted to employ either a new red light program or a new speed enforcement?
Commissioner Miller, yes. In order to move forward with the installation of either red light violation equipment or speed enforcement under this policy, the city would have to approach us. There would be an agreement that we would execute first that would require that they have the ordinance in place and that they meet the other criteria to the policy. And then once we had the agreement, we would issue them a permit to install the equipment.
And I understand that the policy that you're recommending for us today would be a general policy, and then would there be some actual rulemaking process that would follow the adoption of this policy?
I think with the policy we're recommending to you today, we would develop some internal procedural items for how we deal with communities that request. Actual rulemaking, no. We've chosen to bring to you a recommendation for a policy. And down the road, as the policy is developed and we get feedback on how it's working, we may choose at your direction to actually go through a formal rulemaking process. But at this point, we would take the policy and use it to develop our internal procedures for how to deal with requests for this type of equipment.
Well, I think this seems to be one of those instances, you know, where our technology continues to press us forward in terms of our ability to do lots of things, and then our policy needs to catch up with our technology. Obviously, as a commissioner, this is one of those instances, I think, that for the general public is a great deal of interest. So I'm happy to see that you've gone through a fairly, it sounds like, consultative process with the various municipalities, governments, private entities that are affected. And am I correct from your presentation that as a result of that consultative process, that the policy that we're seeing today actually went through a number of iterations in which you were able to take into consideration the various public views you received?
Yes, with the stakeholders that we involved, it did go through several iterations in the policy. As I said, when we started, we had a bunch of input and no written policy. And as we took that policy and started formulating actual policy recommendations, it was a very long document. But as we continued to step through the iterative process, we found out that there were some things in there that were not, they didn't fit for a commission policy, or they were not within the box of what we do here at MoDOT. For instance, some enforcement criteria. Obviously, law enforcement discretion, and we didn't believe that it was appropriate for us to establish any thresholds. But early, we had input that thresholds would be valuable. So yes, it was a very comprehensive review process.
Well, I think, you know, surely for us, what continues to be a great concern for us in so many things is continue to look to improve safety on our roads. And I know that MoDOT implicated our cable system between our highways. It was very successful, and I trust you know that as we look at this technology moving forward, that what we're primarily interested in is, again, ways of keeping all of our Missouri citizens safe.
Yes, sir. And that's, I think that as I put in the one slide, the bottom line is that they work. Automated enforcement works. It does improve safety on our roadways. The guard cable is a very interesting example. When we started with the guard cable, a lot of folks were skeptical about the installation of guard cable and using that new technology in the manner we were, which is basically we're going to do entire corridors. Over time, they've proven their value, and over time, red light violation cameras have proved their value. And we think with a little structure going forward, we'll continue to get those safety benefits.
And then one final, just kind of a request. I know, you know, some groups are always concerned where when government begins regulating their conduct. You know, here we're obviously trying to balance creating a safe environment as possible. But if you wouldn't mind, you know, as this kind of unfolds over the next couple of months, I think we'd be interested in hearing back from you how this is being implemented. Always there are little tweaks and things that we find out as we roll out new policies. We want to make certain that we're hitting this mark just right, balancing safety for our citizens against individual freedoms and fairness as well.
I'd be glad to do that, Commissioner Miller.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments from any commissioners? Grace?
I want to make it crystal clear that these installations are not being done at the initiative of MoDOT. Is that correct?
No, ma'am. Commissioner Nichols, the cities approach us, and the reason they approach us is they understand that they have a safety problem, and they're looking for some type of force multiplier to address the problem. You know, they're limited in their resources, and they approach us. We do not initiate the request, nor do we own or operate any of the installations. That's done. Once it's approved and installed, it's the city's that's handling that.
And this is not a program that we are going forward with. We're simply addressing the problems that have been raised by.
I kind of consider it a check-in point to say we've got 88 of these. Let's find out how it's working and providing a little bit more structure going forward. The program is obviously each individual jurisdiction's program on whether they choose to do that, because they have to approve an ordinance to be able to do it. So,
along those same lines, am I correct that obviously those individuals that would be cited may pay a fine, but there would be no revenue that comes back to MoDOT from this? This is simply a policy intended to provide uniform guidance to municipalities.
Yes, sir. Just to reiterate what you said, MoDOT receives none of the revenue from the enforcement, automated enforcement.
And just to follow up, implementing this policy will actually require us to utilize some of our resources, which is appropriate since safety is
a very high
priority.
Yeah, Commissioner Carmichael, thank you for that question. That's right. We'll have to conduct studies. Obviously, if it's our intersection, we want to know about our intersection, and we believe we should study our intersections. The other item where we would have some possible cost is in the installation of signs. But we believe that is a very low-cost item for a huge benefit.
Donna, I really appreciate the fact that you and the department have spent some time on this, because I think there does need to be some consistency in the way these things are approached, and certainly it does tie in with our mission of making our roads as safe as possible. What's the pleasure of the commission?
I would make a motion that we adopt this policy as presented by staff. I think it's appropriate to have consistency statewide on our highways with regard to this particular and other safety issues.
I'll second it.
Is there further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed, nay. Carries unanimously.